Hi, I'm Jess.
And I'm Christina. And if you're new to D&D, you might want a little hand-holding along your way with this podcast.
We'll hold your hand.
This version has commentary that explains things, but in a fun way.
Feel free to retain none of it. Just enjoy.
Hi, it's me, your mom. Hey, kids, go to bed. Bedtime.
And it's me, your stepmom.
You have more fun at her house.
Either way, keep your children away from us.
Content warnings are in the episode description.
Yeah.
Haven't even started yet, and we're already interrupting.
We didn't properly introduce everyone this episode, and we can't just leave you hanging like that.
So we'll do it as we go. I'm Jess, I'm your DM, and I play the world. Okay, back to it. Welcome to I Seduce the Dragon. Good news, listeners. Flanders, who plays Martha Sinclair, has a new mic. She sounds incredible. And she was just telling us how the company where she got it, Sweetwater, has been checking up to make sure it works.
Oh, yeah. I also got a text when I declined his call because I was in a meeting. He followed up with a text.
Oh, they do texting now? You can text them now?
Oh, hey, that's me.
Christina, a.k.a. our D&D Clippy.
I play Tori Cole, the deadbeat dad.
I'm just saying, if anyone decides they need a boyfriend, a person, I feel like Sweetwater employees would be a great person to consider dating.
That is adorable.
If you were to romance someone via their customer service.
I just mean a lot of gals in LA would die for someone to leave them a voicemail or send them follow-up text.
How dare you?
That's Ryan Keeley. She plays Erastus, our sexy goat man.
Do not Google her at work. The standards are low.
Wow.
Ryan, I feel like you're the one who doesn't send follow up. I feel like you're the one leaving people on red.
That's not actually true at all.
You feel attacked?
No one wants to date me. If they want to date Ryan Keeley, that person doesn't exist, or they don't want to respect me because of what I do, or they're intimidated. So
insecure.
Yeah.
We found a man for you the next time you're in Montana. I think he'd be fun and he'd be game.
Are they tall?
Very broad. Strong.
Tall is my number one criteria, so.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're tall?
Yeah.
Yeah. How tall are you?
I was 5'9". Now it's like 5'8"-ish.
You shrinking?
We all are.
Car accidents, horseback riding accidents, rib removal.
Oh, fuck. Rib removal?
Because of the thoracic outlet, they took off the rib on my top right.
Not trying to give yourself a blowjob?
I asked if I could get a 3-for-1, and...
They don't do them like that, unfortunately. Yeah.
Oh, I asked. And they wouldn't let me keep it.
No, they don't let you keep.
That's messed up.
They don't let you keep stuff.
That's Dana. She plays Gentry Rose Bittercreek Dumont, our aspiring cult leader.
It's biological waste. It's your biological waste.
It's why I'll be single forever. They took away the rib that I was going to make my perfect partner out of.
It is about 8:30 in the morning. You have just stepped outside of the inn where you're staying to see a dragon made of dark crystal with a fiery glowing heart barreling toward Goodmead. Outside with you is Olivessa, as well as a smattering of townspeople. People are streaming out of their homes.
I'm having a hard time visualizing the size of the dragon. Is this like Goodyear blimp size?
It's huge, which, Christina, does that make it what, like two houses?
That's so big.
Huge doesn't just mean it's big. In D&D, it's a unit of size. Creatures and people can be a range of sizes, from tiny to gargantuan.
Yeah, they can.
Is this like T-Rex sized or like multiple T-Rexes sized?
No, it's like one T-Rex size. Huge, huge. Oh, okay. Is described as a minimum of 15 by 15 feet.
Okay, so T-Rex sized.
Yeah, like the size of a single T-Rex, which is still very big.
It's a dragon made of dark crystal.
Oh, yes. Damn.
What about a heart?
It's got a fiery glowing heart.
So this one is approaching us rapidly. It's rapidly approaching our location.
did we do anything to instigate this? We just kind of killed a couple.
Okay, so in the past, you met Velen.
Velen is a fairly important NPC. She likes Gentry and wants her to do well.
And she hates Tori.
Yeah, well, Tori's an asshole.
Fair.
She's also a handy way for me to info dump to these chuckleheads.
AKA the Snow Witch. She showed you a piece of Shardolin and said she'd heard it was dangerous and that lots of it was being stolen in Caer Conig. So you went to Caer Conig, you found all the Shardolin and the Duergar who was responsible for stealing it, who was Nildar.
Nildar!
He was a real dick.
And you killed him.
Yeah.
Yes.
That all happened pre-podcast. You can just nod and smile.
The Duergar in the tavern told us that the plan was already underway.
That's what it was. I knew there was something.
And that the timeline for it had been moved up because of Nildar's death.
Yeah, the plan was moved up and then it was high drama.
Yes, they said that death was going to come for us on dragon's wings and that it was Zardak who was going to be the one who was like instigating this.
Zardarok,
yes. Sorry, yes. I just can't read. I have it written correctly, but I am illiterate.
Doom soars on dragon wings.
Yeah.
And apparently they're not like horpy soars. It's like a flying thing.
That's the spell I'm going to cast is I cast doom soars on the dragon wings.
Just take, there's like an ointment.
That's what I'm saying, you know?
So this thing is, it is rapidly approaching our location. It is flying towards Goodmead. Everybody's come out and about and is just kind of gawking at it, correct?
That's right. And Olavessa has noticed you, Martha. And she'll approach and she'll say, by the looks of it, that's going to be here in 30 minutes.
I'm a little jealous of Olavessa's ability to gauge time and space and speed. It's very impressive.
Is there any cover that the whole town could fit in?
The whole town?
Caves?
Yeah, are there caves or something within half an hour? We do know there are caves. We killed some giants in some caves nearby. But are they within, is it within half an hour?
Yeah, that was a couple hours that you guys traveled to get there.
And that was on Axebeak, which most of these losers don't have.
In Icewind Dale, people ride large birds instead of horses.
An Axebeak is like a big fluffy chicken with a beak like an axe.
I mean, lovely voters don't have.
Wow, power's really gone to your head, Martha.
Look, I'm just a little stressed out that I've been speaker for like 24 hours.
Every town here has a town speaker, which is like the mayor.
Just before we started podcasting this game, Martha decided to run for town speaker of Goodmead. And like a true politician, she won through scheming.
I've been speaker for like 24 hours and I've already been shot and we're having like our own little dragon attack. And it seems pretty messed up. I thought I was going to cut ribbons on mead breweries and like hand out high school diplomas.
You thought you were going to get some of those giant scissors that you got?
Well, I actually have a sword. I was going to use my sword for it. It would have been really cool. But now I guess it's all just going to get burnt down. So,
okay, I'm going to thaumaturgy.
I had never heard this word before learning D&D.
The spell Thaumaturgy has multiple uses, and right now, Gentry is using it like a magical megaphone.
Yeah, so we can't take it away from her.
Anybody who's not able to potentially fight a dragon, please seek cover. Do not get into a structure that is potentially flammable. We're talking about a non-flammable structure is what I'm saying you fight, maybe get yourselves into. Otherwise, if you're able to fight or stand your ground out here, do so.
The townspeople are looking at each other, confused. Everything's flammable. It's all made of wood.
Cellars, caves.
Isn't there there's not a mead cellar?
There's not a cellar?
Your name is Goodmead.
Cellars, yes. The cellar can't hold everyone, but I can take the children into the cellar.
Put the children in the cellar. I am finding Sagan. I am grabbing him. I am following her.
Yeah.
I'm grabbing Ramen.
Not noodles. Ramen is the name of Erastus's sweet, dopey axe beak.
Martha has one named Angel.
I'm grabbing Ramen and my eye cream, and I am following Sagan, Tori, and Olavessa.
Okay. I tell Erastus, absolutely not. Get your ass back over here. You are dealing with this Zadarak alongside us. God damn it.
I would try and take him down to where the children are being held and tell him, like, listen, you need to stay here until it's safe to come out.
Dad, I can fight.
All right, I know you want to help. Sure, stay down here, and if something comes down here, fight. What are you going to do? You're going to throw your knife at it?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So stay here.
Okay.
Don't die.
Don't die.
I'm holding you to that. I look to Olivessa and I will tell her, I'll say, don't let him leave. He's going to want to try and leave.
I'm not sure that we'll be able to keep an eye on him, but we'll do our best.
All right, well, we'll see if he's here when I get back.
And she'll stop you as you're walking away, and she'll say, thank you for helping this town.
Don't think that I'm doing it to be heroic or whatever. I just don't want to die.
And she nods and walks away from you.
And I will rejoin the party.
Okay.
I'm staring at the dragon as it approaches, and I just slowly raise a flask of chowder to my lips and take a swig.
I'm imagining your hair, too, is like blowing.
Yes, it is blowing.
Yeah, she's wearing sunglasses for some reason.
Yeah.
The dragon, you don't know how, but it seems like it looks right at you, and it screams, picks up its pace.
I scream right back. Two can play this game, buddy.
Clock's ticking.
Hey, bless me. Bless me. Gentry. Gentry.
How do you want to be blessed?
Gentry.
With what?
I just wanted it as like an overall dealing with the dragon situation because...
I can make you stealthier. Let's see, I can... I didn't really prep a lot of buff spells.
Meh.
Gentry, as a cleric, has to pick what spells she wants to use every day. When she says she didn't prepare any buff spells, it means she didn't pick anything that would make someone smarter, stronger, more attractive, or generally improved.
But is there really any improving, Erastus?
Meh.
That's about all I can do right now.
Aren't you supposed to be a god?
Demi-god, remember?
Oh, demi-god.
It's like running a half marathon. It's like not that impressive.
It's still a very long run.
Oh my god.
This dragon is landing imminently.
Can I roll Arcana for Shardolin in general?
Mm-hmm, sure can.
An Arcana check lets you know things about magic stuff, but only if you already know things about magic stuff.
Erastus might know some stuff about Shardolin, but Ryan, of course, does not. She's allowed to roll to find out what her very smart character knows.
21, motherfuckers.
Oh, damn. All right. So you recall, Erastus, that you've heard some tall tales in your bar in the Honeyfucker from travelers. Tales of people who had found themselves lost in the wilderness or lost at sea and were on the brink of death, but they found this crystal and it saved them, but it also changed them. So you've heard tales, fables, rumors that this substance...
Dark crystal being Shardolin?
Which looks exactly like the Shardolin that you've been seeing and collecting and that this dragon is made of.
Got it.
So with your 21, it occurs to you that a creature made of this material would inherently be evil.
Mm.
And would also not be a creature at all. It would be considered a construct, like some sort of... creation, a golem of sorts.
Yeah, if it's made out of rocks, that doesn't really leave a lot of room for vascularity.
Yeah, then who's controlling it?
Probably Zardarak.
Okay, so what else? So Shardolin is by nature evil.
Now, would you say this dragon is a aberration, a elemental, a fae, a fiend?
These are all just types of monsters, and some are more vulnerable to certain kinds of damage. Like how sunlight hurts vampires, but not werewolves.
Flanders is trying to find out the best way to hit it.
This is considered a construct, which is a being that doesn't have a mind of its own. It is created from material and animated through magic. So it's basically like a big puppet.
That's following instructions.
Got it.
Tori doesn't know that. Tori knows nothing about magic.
No, that was D&D Clippy.
I see you're trying to look up what a construct is. Do you want some help?
I want to attack it. Can I shoot something at it?
Sure can, because it is swooping into range.
Yes!
You acid splash this dragon.
You want me to do this fucking dragon? Watch this. Watch this. When it gets within 90 feet, I would like to hurl something at it.
Okay.
I would like to cast Melf's Acid Arrow.
You'll use your turn to ready an action.
Yes.
It'll be triggered when it gets into range.
Yes.
Oh, nerdy. Let's untangle that.
When you want to do something in a fight, but you don't want to do it right now, you can choose instead to ready the action. That way, it happens whenever specific conditions are met, even if it isn't your turn.
Ryan already told us what this one means. When it gets close enough, she's going to hurl something at it.
Fantastic. Erastus gets another attack with his bonus action.
Oh, yeah, my bonus action is just shooting him with a crossbow. 26.
Oh, wow.
Just like in life, if you're going to try to hit someone, there's a chance you'll miss.
That chance is represented by rolling dice, an attack roll.
Some things are harder to hit than others, and it may shock you to learn there's a number for that. Stone dragon high number, squishy man low number. And that's the number your attack roll has to beat.
In this fight, anything above a 20 is pretty much definitely going to hit. And Ryan knows that.
You plant your feet squarely in the street as townspeople file past you with their possessions trying to get out of town. You pull back and you loose an arrow towards this dragon, which looks like it should be out of range. The arrow sails into the air and you lose track of it in the mist, and it lands right in between two plates.
Hey!
Your crossbow arrow does no noticeable damage based on the reaction from this giant creature.
Okay, that's alarming.
I want to know if Velen would know that this dragon is approaching, because I want Velen to maybe help us. I mean, she can turn shit to ice also. So I could cast Sending and tell her. I'll cast it as a third level spell.
The higher the level, the stronger the spell.
Third level is Gentry's highest level at the moment.
Cast it as a third level spell and say, big dragon headed to a town, destruction imminent, send help, any advice.
All right, and you hear back immediately.
I'm on my way.
Erastus, you've been holding that acid arrow, and you're ready when that dragon now swoops into range. Emboldened by your great crossbow bolt shot, you lash out with your hand, and from it springs a shimmering green arrow that sails through the air, but sails just to the left of your target. It does not hit him.
I'm gonna go hide under something.
Could I have said that I found a good high vantage point to climb up to?
Yeah, you can step up on one of these houses, get yourself up there.
Cool. Similar to Erastus, I would like to prepare to fire at it with my short bow as soon as this thing gets within 80 feet.
Okay. You're standing stock still on the roof, ready to fire.
I'm going to cast Guiding Bolt as a second level spell. Does 22 hit?
Yes. What's your damage?
That would be 20.
20?
Yeah, baby. Whew. And I'm going to go hurrah and flip off the dragon.
Harsh.
With a very practiced gesture, you cast Guiding Bolt towards the rapidly approaching dragon. The bolt strikes it squarely in the chest, and waves of shimmering light spread from that point outward, illuminating the monster with a strangely lovely glow. It takes a massive amount of magical damage, and the scream it looses is filled with hatred and rage.
That's its reaction.
It now lights up the sky and is close enough for Tori to hit.
So I'm going to shoot at it with my short bow. You know, the best weapon against a dragon made of stone and magic.
The curse of being the most experienced at D&D is that Christina knows exactly how pitiful this attack is about to be.
I got a 24 to hit.
Yep, that works.
Cool. So 4d6.
When you hear us say d6, d20, d4, that's just referring to the number of sides the dice have. So 4d6 is four of the regular six-sided dice.
4d6 of just good old piercing, normal, non-magical, completely mundane man damage. Which I have a feeling it's resistant
to. It's got resistance.
Which means it does half damage.
Yep.
I had a feeling. Me, the one non-magic boy in the party. The one person who don't know any spells or have any magic weapons. Just shooting my little sticks at it.
It's the dragon's turn.
Oh, no.
Now, within range of the town, it swoops overhead and sweeps the streets with its searing, radiant breath.
Oh, God.
To incinerate some of the structures.
No!
It's gonna head in your direction, Tori.
Why me?
Because you shot at it.
No!
It's going to exhale a ray of radiant energy.
Okay.
In a long line that's only 5 feet wide. So it's actually gonna miss you, but it'll go right by you. You'll feel the heat radiating off of that beam.
Oofa doofa.
It flies overhead and buildings go up in flames.
Oh no.
There are now people sort of scattering around these structures that are falling and burning.
in a straight line right down Main Street, and it lands on this building on the corner and starts thrashing around with its tail. At this point, Gentry, you're looking in that direction, and you can notice that right where the dragon is landed, you see Velen riding from the woods on a dog sled drawn by four wolves. She's racing towards you with two additional empty sleds in tow, driven by her kobolds.
Velen has several kobold minions who are just like little dragon-looking guys.
Well, I don't want the dogs to get hurt, the dwarves to get hurt.
Velen rides towards you and she says, "Might I be of service? Here, Gentry, I brought this for you." And she hands you a canteen of tea.
Velen's tea restores magic.
Okay, I drink it.
You get back a spell slot.
Okay, a third level spell slot?
You can have a third level spell slot back.
Yes.
Casting a spell uses up what's called a spell slot. One spell per one spell slot. And you only get so many slots per day.
Between the last fight and this one, Gentry has already used up a lot of her slots.
We keep saying slots. This sounds so terrible.
I know. Since the tea gives her a spell slot back, then naturally she wants one for her most powerful spells. And I just want her to be happy.
Okay. Thank you, Velen. Hey, thanks for these sleds, too. I feel sort of shitty because I did tell people to take cover, and then this dragon did burn down the buildings, and I know that there are some children hiding about. Can you get some folks out of the town on this sled or whatever? I don't want any kids to die. That's like one of my no-goes.
You're not going to ask her to kill the dragon, Tori yells from the top of a building.
I'm saying she's got a kobold. She's got a whole other kobold with a sled. She's got a kobold with an empty sled.
Where are the children? I'll start loading them on the sleds.
Tori, are you nearby? Can you tell her where the children are?
You don't know where the children are, Gentry.
I don't remember where we put them. I wasn't really paying attention.
They're in the cellar of the mead hall.
They're in the cellar of the mead hall. They're in the cellar of the mead hall.
She heads in that direction. Buildings are burning and falling. Tori, it's your turn. Your footing just got very unsteady.
Okay. Well, that's unfortunate now, isn't it? I don't necessarily want to be on top of this building. But also, I am slightly useless right now. What else is going on around us?
Roll perception.
Okay. 27.
You hear motion and you see footprints in the snow.
Okay.
Heading toward where the children are being loaded into the sleds.
Oh, no. That's no good. All right. I'm going to run up on where I think the person is if by following their footsteps.
Great.
And I think I'm just going to stab them. So that's a 19. I draw my short sword as I'm running up, and I slash in the direction that I think this person is.
You slash, and your sword stops as it makes contact with a Duergar, breaking his focus on invisibility. He materializes before you with a gaping wound in his arm, and you are now engaged.
Oh, snap.
He pulls back his hammer to take a swing at you. But with a 3, he's off balance, so he misses his swing.
Yay! I'm gonna yell at it. I'm gonna say, "Call off your dragon or we'll freaking kill you."
And the Duergar will say, "As if I could do that."
What's the point of you?
As if.
God.
Okay, I'm going to cast Bill Standby, Guiding Bolt.
Oh, yeah.
16 damage.
16 damage?
Correct.
Guiding Bolt does big hit.
Yeah, it sure does. Velen, having loaded up one of the sleds full of children, she is going to instruct the kobolds to leave town, and you see that sled of kids sliding through the streets, narrowly dodging falling objects, people running, some odd fights that are happening, different bits of chaos. This sled makes it through, and you see it turn right off toward what you assume is the east way. The dragon is going to, with its big, heavy claws, climb down off the building as if it is just climbing off a sofa. The air shivers as you feel the influence of its malevolent presence. Everyone make a DC 16 wisdom save.
The dragon has an ability that is attacking our minds, and the players have to roll to resist it. If they get lower than a 16, it's bad news for us.
It's a 9.
18 for me.
I got a 21.
I got a natural 1.
Oh my goodness.
Plus 2.
So 3.
So a creature charmed in this way.
Oh wait, is it a charm effect?
It is a charm effect.
Jess is trying to mind control us. Well, not today, Jess.
I have advantage against charm because I'm an elf.
All right, try again.
Dear sweet God, please. 21.
Oh my gosh. So only Erastus has been charmed by this dragon.
That tracks.
It's very shiny.
It actually does make a lot of sense.
It was inevitable.
Erastus, suddenly your mind is entered by this dragon's presence.
Oh. Thank you.
Penetrated even.
It chooses a target and instructs you to attack. And that target is...
Why not let the dice decide?
Martha.
Oh, snap.
Figures.
I always knew this day would come.
What do I attack her with?
Whatever you like. At the end of your next turn, you can roll your wisdom save again to try to break the spell. But until then, you have to use your actions to ice that bitch.
I'm going to hit her with an unarmed strike.
Throwing hands is always an option.
I'm going to smack her real hard.
Well, you have to... You have some time to plan what you'll do because the dragon's not done.
Oh my
God. She has a toast. I'm not going to be attacking Erastus, my sweet little minion. I am going to attack Martha. That's a 19 for a claw attack.
Remember how some things are harder to hit than others? That number they have is called an AC.
Armor class.
Which is how high an attacker has to roll to do any damage at all.
Martha's a paladin and has all that freaking armor. So her AC is high, meaning even this 19 might not work.
But this dragon gets a little bonus to his attacks that should take care of that.
Oh, I'm sorry, plus 11 to hit, so make that a 30.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that'll hit, turns out.
You're gonna take 8 damage from that claw.
Oh, that's not too bad.
He totally misses you with his other claw, but he's going to swing his tail around and try to hit you, Gentry.
Okay.
I'll let you try to roll dexterity to dodge it. DC 11.
Oh, 12.
That was a narrow miss. You hit the dirt and it totally misses you.
Sweet.
And we've got one more attack with the wings, so he's going to try to hit you, Gentry.
Okay.
You're just so small and agile, this dragon can't land a hit.
One might say godly.
Erastus.
Unarmed melee strike.
Melee attack means up close.
The only way to smack someone.
You're just going to march up to Martha and slap her?
5.
Slap me.
A natural 5, by the way.
No.
That's my plus 4.
So Erastus marches up toward Martha and brings his hand back to give you a full open palm slap.
I just high-five him. I thought he was going for a high-five.
Oh, yeah, high-five, bro.
Hell yeah, buddy. Let's go.
Arrest is at the end of your turn. You can try to roll to break the charm. You want to hit a DC 16 wisdom saving throw.
20, bitches.
Fuck
natural.
Yeah. Natural 20. The power of Martha's high-five instantly snaps you out of it. You are uncharmed through the power of friendship.
Hell yeah.
Really what it is I charmed him back onto our side.
It's true.
I love that.
I'm going to cast Spiritual Tits.
Just so you know, this spell is officially called Spiritual Weapon and usually summons a weapon that represents the god someone serves. It could be a sword or a giant flaming axe or anything. But Gentry's god, the Traveler, is best represented by a pair of floating, glowing boobs in a tasteful bra.
And then just hit it. Just hit him with my tits. Hit it with my tits.
Can we just appreciate how very, very different scale these two things are?
But powerful, so.
Very powerful. All right, roll to hit with your tits, I guess.
I don't see the tits.
Oh, they're not on the map because they're too small. They're minuscule.
Got it.
Compared to...
I know a guy.
That's a 12.
No, you're...
I basically just flashed this dragon for no reason, essentially.
The dragon launches into the air and uses its breath weapon. Tori, you're probably the only one who's going to need to roll a dexterity saving throw.
Okay.
23.
Oh, the 23, you dive easily out of the way. But the Duergar that you were fighting is Duergon.
No. Boo. I did like that, actually, but boo.
I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah, I liked it, too.
Yeah. I did like it, but against my will.
I did like it.
All of the buildings on that side of the street are destroyed. All of the people inside of them, probably a lost cause.
Whoopsie.
You hear a squeal nearby, and you see that one of the buildings has fallen on an axe beak.
Oh, no!
No! No, not my ramen! Not my ramen! Can I leap? I leap towards ramen!
And you see that his leg is trapped underneath some rubble from a crumbling building. He's struggling and trying to escape. Would you like to do anything about it?
Can I clear the rubble?
Yeah, roll strength.
21!
Oh, shit.
Blackjack!
With the kind of strength that mothers find to lift cars.
Yes! Yes!
Yes.
Absolutely.
Orestes, bare hand, grabs this giant slab of rubble, crushing Ramen's leg, and lifts it and frees him, and Ramen stumbles free. He's hobbling.
Can I cast healing word?
Yeah. You kneel. You fall to your knees in front of his broken leg, and you grasp it with your hands, and you cast healing word. And under your fingers, you feel the flesh mend and the bones straighten, and his body relax a little bit with the relief of the injury going away. And he leans down and he nuzzles you.
Oh, we snuggle hard and look around for a place to hide.
So the dragon did his breath weapon and landed on another building. This one alarmingly close to Olivessa and the children.
I can spiritual tits it, right?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, so I'm going to try again to slaver with my tit.
Roll the hit with your tit. See if you can penetrate the armor.
26. And that is, this is definitely going to be some magical damage. And it is 6.
Your tits found the gap in the armor, and
I just stuck a nip in, kind of.
Oh, Jesus.
That sounds painful. That sounds unpleasant.
I want to see this. I really want to see this.
Yeah, why don't you describe what happens, Gentry?
So I realize that motorboating it isn't really working. Like, I can't quite slap it, but I see a chink in the armor, and so I just kind of wedge one in and go, ugh, with it. Just kind of thrust one boob in. I don't think we've ever really addressed if the spiritual tits can move independently, really. They've sort of just been like one.
Okay, hold on, hold on, hold on.
We okay. Can test this out. Yeah, that looks pretty independent to me. If you haven't figured out what's going on here, we're not going to tell you, you sweet, innocent little angel.
Oh my gosh.
Apparently tits can.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't do that.
That's impressive.
How do you do that?
What?
How? I can't even.
650 cc's of silicone under my muscle.
But that muscle, you still have to have that muscle. And my muscles
I can't do that
do
muscle.
That.
I guess I'm just hella jacked, bro.
You're just ripped. Yeah. You're just shredded.
Wait, which muscles are you activating to do it, though?
It's amazing.
I just think about squeezing my titty. It's kind of like when you learn how to, like, either queef on command or...
These are not universal experiences.
Yeah,
you gotta, like, it's like you have to, like, think about it for a while, and then eventually you figure it out.
Can you do it with your butt cheeks, too?
Yeah.
That's impressive. Whoa! You can move them independently of one another?
Oh, my God.
It's out of control. Guys... cancel the podcast. I just want to see a Ryan Keeley talent show.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
I have one more move and that's it.
Okay.
And then we're out.
Yes.
Is it queefing on command?
Oh, actually, no, that'd be another one.
I can queef on command. That's anybody can queef on command. I just have to do the headstand and yoga. Oh my God.
Your mic picked that up.
I have incredible muscle control. Oh, what can gosh. I say?
I am.
Jesus Christ.
What an absolute athlete.
Oh, Lord. Send this girl to the Olympics. That's out of control.
Wow. I now believe in the physics that you can definitely direct just one breast into a very specific hole in the armor. And I'm assuming shoot a little bit of radiant energy out of your...
From the nipple?
Yeah.
From the nipple?
Just lactating radiant energy.
Yeah.
The theology that we're building right now for this world is so concerning.
I'm using Lefty. That's my power move.
All right. Old Lefty does 6 damage. And the dragon looks down, not so much in pain as in confusion.
There was 6 damage, so he was at least a little bit in pain.
Fair. Martha, it's your turn.
I'm going to shout for the bees.
For the bees is the activation phrase for Martha's flying magic cloak. Bees, honey, mead, good mead, you get it.
I'm going to shout for the bees and fly till I'm like face to face, but off to the side because I'm not going to be like right in front of its mouth. And I'm going to bonk it on this head with my shillelagh.
Roll the hit. See if you can get past the armor.
Yes, that is a 23 to hit. Okay, that's 4 bludgeoning damage.
Do you maybe want to give it a little smite?
Yeah, I'm going to give it some divine smite.
Yay!
So I can deal an extra 12 radiant damage. So that'll be 16 total.
Damn.
Then I flip it off again.
You use your winged cape to fly up to its head and bring your shillelagh down with so much force that it cracks the crystal. You do 16 damage, and there's going to be a permanent hole right there.
Perfect.
Aw, hell yeah.
It's Velen's turn. You see her getting on the last sled of children and driving it through the streets.
Can she steer with one hand and zap with another?
Sure. Sure, Gentry. I'll take your notes. Let me let the NPC do all your work for you. Yes, by all means.
I just think, why waste a turn, you know, being a hero?
Velen, driving the dog sled.
It's a cute image.
Loaded with kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Weaving through the legs of the dragon, shooting upwards with her wand. Choo, 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 magic missile. It's the last charge that her wand has. And she does 9 damage.
In his junk.
Directly
into the undercarriage
to the dragon's crystalline jump.
Yeah,
because totally that was what when the people were constructing this dragon, they're like, we have to give it a dick.
Okay, let's just call it an undercarriage.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to have it. It's, I mean, probably it's a bit tender, I would imagine, down there.
Oh, no, it's a dick. It's a
it's a boy.
Big old Shardlin.
It's a big old Shardlin dick.
There's a dragon dick. There's a fucking dragon dick this whole time.
I thought it was a construct with no gender.
You said junk.
I meant like a generic sort of undercarriage situation.
That's so broad.
Is it like a smooth situation or is this like a stallion at full dangle? Like, how retractable is it? Because I've been to that website, Bad Dragon, where they have all sorts of weird toys.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that. Why have I heard of that?
Because they make dragon dicks.
Something else, though. Are they also the ones who do the eggs?
They
I saw that
eggs.
On a show.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, okay. They do the yeah. ones that, yeah. that, yeah.
Okay. I have to pee.
Okay.
She has to pee as soon as I tell her about where to get dragon dicks that can also lay eggs inside her.
Actually, I'm gonna go grab a beverage real quick.
Oh, actually, Flanders also needs a break.
If we're doing a break.
What?
So, does the dragon have a dick now? Is that what we decided?
Thanks to you, Gentry Rose.
It's always had a dick.
And your creative contribution to this living fable. The dragon has a dick.
Dragon has a dick.
Oh, it's the dragon's turn. Waves of energy radiate off of it, once again, using its malevolent presence. Everyone who rolled charisma save last time, I think was all of you, right? You're now immune. Woo. However, I'm going to roll for Velen and the kids.
No!
So that's a 5 for Velen, 2 for the children, and 7 for anybody I forgot.
Gentry, I'm so sorry. I'm about to fight some kids.
God damn it.
Non-lethally.
Okay.
All of the kids dismount the sled and come rushing after Tori.
Great. Fabulous. This is like that question, like, how many 5-year-olds do you think you can fight? I'm about to find out.
And with Tori taken care of, the dragon is going to try to attack you, Martha, with its claw. Doesn't hit. He's swiping at you. You're in the air. You're totally dodging him. He cannot land a hit.
Sucks to suck, buddy.
So, in frustration, he launches back into the air and begins to fly away.
No!
But it's faltering. It's not flying steady.
Oh.
Guys, this is going to be so cool for my next newsletter.
You see the dragon flying off towards the north. It looks like it might be headed towards East Haven.
That's not ideal.
I really don't want to go there.
As we've covered.
I've said they just kill people.
For some reason, Dana is convinced of the story she made up that East Haven hunts and kills wizards without a trial.
It's not true. I should know. Tori, six children come at you and start pummeling you with their little fists.
Aww.
Okay. I'm swarmed by six children.
You are. And they're going to do, I'm going to roll their damage.
They have to hit me first.
They do.
Martha's AC is really high with her armor, but my rogue Tori isn't wearing so much protection, so he's easier to damage.
What's your AC here, Christina?
15.
So these kids need to roll a 15 or better to cause him some pain.
Good luck, kids. They have to hit me first.
They do. That's a 2. That's an 11. That's a 7. That's a 10. It's like the dice know. That's a 9. That's a 6.
All of them pummel me and I barely notice as their tiny fists smack against my legs.
You're so butch today.
Make a constitution saving throw, Tori.
19.
So you are going to take half of three poison damage from a ray of sickness. And when you trace its source, you see Velen.
Velen?
Who was also charmed.
I knew she hated me, but God. I'll take half of three. So that rounds down to 1. So I feel mildly queasy as I am sickened while the children pummel me with their tiny fists.
Now it's your turn.
Okay, so the unfortunate part about this is I have several children who are distractingly right up on me, which means that if I try to fire at anything, I have disadvantage.
God, I love Christina's honesty. I did not know that rule.
Hey, this game is more fun if things don't always go our way. Why would I cheat?
You could have just said that, like, you're trying to protect the children. I think that's a nicer way to say that.
Yeah, I mean, are they your enemy if you, like, don't identify them as your enemy? Like, they're not your enemy.
I feel like it doesn't matter if I identify them. I think they're identifying currently me as their enemy.
I feel like they're not allies, but they're not enemies. But go on. You have disadvantage.
You were so kind about children. Tiny murderers.
I'm just going to take a deep breath and tense up against the barrage of tiny fists to steady aim myself.
Okay.
The horde of children around Tori is very distracting, but his ability to steady aim lets him focus hard enough to negate that.
He also has a natural talent for ignoring children.
To steady aim myself.
Okay.
And fire at the retreating dragon.
Shockingly, with six children attempting to pummel you with their tiny fists, you manage to steady yourself and take a very clear shot.
It's only 5.
It's not the strongest shot.
It's nothing.
But it's sure. And piercing damage is unfortunately halved.
Yep.
But you can see your arrow lodged in the crystal of the dragon's flank.
All right, guess what's stupid? I'm casting Guiding Bolt. Ooh, that's a natural 20, baby.
Hey.
That's a 20.
Oh. Nice little parting gift for the dragon.
That'll be 8d6 radiant damage.
Jesus Christ.
Pretty good. Pretty good stuff.
Sure enough.
Pretty good. You blast him with a huge beam of radiant energy. He lights up once again and falters in the sky. In fact, you almost think he's gonna fall and crash, but he catches himself and continues on towards East Haven.
Oh, jeez.
How many children are still trying to kill me?
Yeah, you got 4 children still on ya.
Okay. Come at me, kids.
That's a 3. That's a 9. That's a 13.
That's still a miss. My AC is 15.
Okay, your turn.
And the dragon's too far away.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, none of these children are my son.
None of them are, no.
Your son would have hit harder.
He would have stabbed me. I just start kind of like wading my way out of the pile of children surrounding me, just like, all right, just kind of just shoving them away like they barely exist, and start looking around to make sure that everybody else is good.
Nobody's good.
Everyone's bad.
The entire town is falling apart. It's chaos.
That's unfortunate.
It's on fire.
Time to get out those woodworking tools, Tori.
That's true.
Velen will approach you, Tori, and say,
please accept my apologies. I was not myself.
Don't worry about it. I barely felt it.
Okay.
I've had worse hangovers. It was fine. Where's my kid? I just start looking around for it.
He's not visible.
And one of the freaking dog sleds was headed towards East Haven, wasn't it?
You aren't sure, but you knew at least one went to Bryn Shander.
One went to, oh, Bryn Shander.
Hey, are these kids still fighting Tori? Can I dispel magic on them or something? Can we get them to stop?
It'll wear off. Just, they're not even doing anything.
Okay.
In fact, as you speak, two of them stop attacking you. They look suddenly fearful and they pull the other two smaller kids away, whispering, "Stranger danger," and they run off.
Martha, it looks like your town is wrecked.
Yeah, sure is. That's why I think we need to go chase down this dragon and finish kicking its ass.
Maybe we can get it before it reaches East Haven, and then we don't have to go there.
I will say there's probably more Durgar, or there might be more Durgar in town. Another one rolled up while we were fighting, and I point at the blackened remains, and I say there might be more of them.
They're invisible. How are we supposed to know?
Ugh. Look around for footprints.
Why are they so invisible?
Velen will say they can go invisible because it is a feature of their race.
Does the name... What crap? What was it?
Xanadu?
Nigel?
Not Xanadu.
Nidir?
Hold on.
No, Dirth.
Dirth. Dirth.
Zanzibar.
I literally have it written down.
Dirth and...
Zardarak.
Zardarak. Zardarak.
Does that strike any bells?
I don't believe I've heard of a Zardarok.
What about a Dirth?
But Duergar, they aren't usually on the surface because they don't like sunlight.
Well, there's not a whole lot of sun these days.
And their last name is Sunblight, which makes sense. So.
That it does.
Good job, Gentry.
Yes.
If the Duergar are on the surface... And they've been collecting the Shardalin?
Presumably to make that thing.
To make that thing. That thing is clearly their weapon. I fear we must destroy it.
It's gonna keep coming after us. So, yeah.
Yeah, guys, I almost did.
I look at Gentry also, and also Erastus, all the magic people, and say, I was next to useless against that thing. Do any of you have anything that I could use? A spell, or I don't know, a little fun wand, or whatever?
Oh, yes, my fun wand. Yeah, I can make you a magic weapon, Tori.
Yes.
Flanders looked at her spells and found one that will make Tori's weapon do magic damage, so he won't be so lame and terrible next time.
The roast. The roast.
Yes.
You have to be really nice to me in front of everyone from now on, though.
Oh, my God. From now on? Ew, no. Come on. Be more realistic.
For 1 week.
1 week. But you cast it whenever I need it.
During that week. If I can spare the spell slot.
We should go shopping.
Well, the town burned down, and the dragon's on the way to burn down the other town.
So we should go looting.
Let's just go and kill the dragon. It's already so weak. If we get there, we can kill it. We can stop it from coming after us
again.
Okay,
let's go kill it. Let's go after the dragon.
Fine.
I hop on Ramen and start riding after the dragon.
I grab Martha's shoulders, and I say to her, I will be nice to you for a week if you will just make me not useless against this dragon.
Okay, Tori, I'll give you a magic weapon as soon as we catch up to this dragon. It's only good for an hour, though, so...
Hopefully we do it faster than that.
That's why I'm ahead of you guys! I message them back, pointing a finger, casting a cantrip.
If sending is a long-distance communication spell, message works over short distances.
And it's a cantrip, which means it's a weak enough spell that it doesn't require a spell slot. Free spell. He could do it all day.
Erastus could do a lot of things all day.
You have to take at least one of them. Angel can only carry me and someone else. Me and my new best friend, Tori.
Tori, you're riding with me.
Oh, goody.
I loop back around and scoop up Gentry.
So you all head up towards East Haven?
Yep.
Yeah, and it's 11 o'clock and I just ate Taco Bell. So you're going to have to either cut now or start planning to cut out my farts.
We're working towards that. But let's get to a nice ending.
That's not it.
Put a button on it.
We're on the road. Tune in next time. Will our adventurers catch up to that dragon? They've... pretty seriously wounded, or will the infighting and dithering slow them down like the bureaucracy that is now wrapped around Martha Sinclair's shoulders like her cape of flying? Only you can find out if you like, subscribe, and listen to our next episode.
Perfect.
My name's Ryan Keeley, and I am America's favorite stepmom, and I am here with... And that's when you guys say your names.
Fabulous. Perfect.
All right. That's perfect. That's good.
Oh, Christ.
Thanks for listening to I Seduce the Dragon. We are brand new and self-produced, and if you believe in what we're doing here, if you like the quality of this podcast, then consider joining our Patreon, where you can directly support the show. Subscribers get every episode early, ad-free, and when we get enough support, get ready for bonus episodes and so much more. Oh, we have plans. So head to patreon.com/iseducethedragon and keep these clippy versions coming. Next episode drops April 9th, or April 5th for subscribers. See you then.